beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Everlasting Father, we bless and appreciate you. We give you thanks and praise. We give you glory and honor. We say, hallowed be your name forever. We magnify you because you are God and you are King, and there is none to compare with you. We celebrate your majesty. We celebrate your beauty. We say, hallowed be your name forever in the name of Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit, we exalt you. Jesus, we glorify you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you teach us your word tonight. Grant us understanding that we may live to your glory and praise forever. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, we have been on the fourth miracle of Jesus, and that's the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Praise God forevermore. Amen. This miracle has been so beautiful since we began studying it. We got to understand that on a larger scale, we have seen this miracle as just a miracle of provision, but it's far more than just provision. It's a miracle of redemption and a miracle of reconciliation. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. I also understood that resident in this miracle is the shepherding role of Christ and also the evangelistic role of Christ. And also, it's the same for us. We are shepherds as the Lord has made us, and we are also evangelists. Amen to Jesus. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. And so we have stayed on the shepherding role, understanding that what bettered this miracle was not only thanksgiving, because over the years we have just looked at thanksgiving as what bettered the miracle. But we understood that Jesus saw the people as sheep having no shepherd. We understood that vision first bettered compassion. Amen to Jesus. And we have been on that thus far, and we are trusting God for another great time in his presence today. We began to understand what winning souls entail. Amen to Jesus. Because this is one integral part of this miracle, soul winning. Amen to Jesus. And so there is no coincidence that Jesus took the disciples to Bethsaida, which is called the fishing house. It's no coincidence, and that was the place that Peter, Andrew, James, and John came from. He took them there for a very important reason, and we understood that the reason was to make them once again conversant with the Great Commission, which is what? Soul winning. Amen to Jesus. Hallelujah to us. And we understood what soul winning meant, at least from a basic understanding, which I trust the Holy Ghost will help us get further understanding as we study more on our own. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so, having understood that, we need to understand some basic truths about this. We understood 13 things about what soul winning meant, 13 phrases that explain soul winning. I'm using the Greek, praise God forevermore. And all of this we understood. We need to also understand that we can only do this when we be the act of witnessing via our lives, not do witnessing via our mouth only. Praise God forevermore. And we are not just to do witnessing with our mouth. We are meant to be the very act of witnessing. Praise God forevermore. We're not called to just do witnessing. We're called to be witnessing itself. Praise God forevermore. To be the very act. Over the time, over the years in church, there has been a large shift from being the witness to doing witnessing. The first disciples did not do witnessing. They were the witness itself. Praise God forevermore. When they saw the way their life was in the book of Acts chapter, in the book of Acts, they, in Antioch, they called them Christianos, which means followers of Christ. When they saw the way they lived their life, they said, these ones are followers of Christ. Now, there are many people that have an issue with the name Christian, amen to Jesus, and have an issue with the with Christianity, praise God forevermore. But even within the with faith where we claim to be Christians, are you get what I'm saying? We see how people who have an issue with the name designation Christian and with the faith Christianity. I don't have an issue with it. Why? Because the name Christian is the Greek word Christianos, which means follower of Christ. So I don't think follower of Christ should be an issue to me. Amen to Jesus. After all, in my faith, who am I following? Whether we call ourselves the church, the ecclesia, or we call ourselves the called out ones, or we give, you know, as most of the times Christians, we just like, you know, having so many, you know, we like many things. The long and short summary of everything is that it's about Christ. It's about following Jesus. So be the ecclesia, be the called out one, be the chosen generation, be the royal priesthood, be believers. Who are we believing? Who called us and chose us? So if it is not about Jesus, then it is not, you know, that's why we have an issue. But so long as it's about Jesus, then I don't have an issue with that. Praise God forevermore. But the first church were known because they were not just doing witnessing with their mouth. They were the very act of witnessing. And that is what characterized the life of the saint. We are not just meant to do it with our mouth. We are to be the very act of what? The very act of witnessing from our homes to our world. Amen to Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can empower us to do this. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to us. Now we are having a lot of issues. People are fighting, you know, the Holy Spirit, and I'm saying it's Jesus and every of that. You see, when we have soft clashes, it's because we don't we've not looked into some things very well. Jesus said, I am going and I will pray the Holy Spirit, who the Father, who will send you what? The comforter, another comforter in my name. The comforter I was talking about there is the Paracletos, amen to Jesus, which is a comforter of the same kind. In other words, the father was actually sending Jesus in the spirit form, praise God forevermore. He was not sending the Paracletos. The Paracletos is a comforter of a different kind, but the Paracletos is a comforter of the same kind. So the hullabaloo of Holy Spirit and Jesus fight is not justified in any way. You get what I'm saying? Trying to amplify Jesus over the Holy Spirit or all this drama is not in any way a justifiable fight. The Holy Spirit is Jesus in us. The Bible makes us understand finally that Christ is us is what? The hope of glory. How is Christ in us? When Christ was the face of the earth, on the face of the earth, he was 100% God, 100% man, the Tantrapos, praise God forevermore. Hallelujah, Jesus. And while he walked the face of the earth, he had blood flowing through his veins. Are we together? When he died and resurrected, when he resurrected, with a glorified body, there was no longer blood flowing through his veins. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. But with that body, he didn't need to stay on earth any longer. Amen to Jesus. He ascended to heaven. Amen to Jesus. And he could disappear, pass through walls without opening the door. Are we together? But they could see that even the period of 40 days while he was with them, he was one person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen to Jesus. He was one person while he was with them. But he knew that he had to come stay in every one of us. And the only way he was to come stay whenever. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he was with a glorified body. That's the body we shall put on. Are we together? When the Bible says, and mortality shall put on immortality, praise God forevermore. Is a body Jesus has in heaven, praying, Jesus has flesh and bone, not flesh and blood. Are we together? That's how I could. The same body he was resurrected, it was the same body he went to heaven with. He did not change that body. I get what I'm saying. It's a resurrected body. That's why he told Thomas, touch me. Touch me. If it was not flesh, Thomas would not be able to touch him. Are you getting what I'm saying? So in heaven is flesh and bone. And flesh and bone cannot live inside flesh, bone, and blood. Are we together? Flesh and bone cannot live inside what? Flesh, bone, and blood. Jesus, when he ascended, he was not, are we together? He was not a spirit, praise God forevermore. He was flesh and bone. Amen to Jesus. So that is why he's still the high priest of our salvation. Amen to Jesus. Because he's God, but still has the feeling of our infirmities. Are you getting what I'm saying? He still has flesh, even in heaven. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, so flesh and bone cannot live inside flesh, blood, and bone. It takes spirit to live inside flesh, blood, and bone. We are flesh, blood, and bone. Jesus is flesh and bone. Flesh and bone cannot live inside flesh, blood, and bone. It takes only a spirit to live inside what? Flesh, blood, and bone. And that is why Jesus had to come in his spirit, in the spirit from the person of the Holy Spirit, the comforter of the same kind, to indwell every one of us. That's how the Bible makes us understand that Christ in us is the hope of glory. How is Christ in us? The Holy Spirit. So you cannot separate this, the Godhead. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's one God and one Father of all. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. And that same Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to be the very act of witnessing. Not just to do it, but to be it, to be it, to be it. Being is more important than doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Being is more powerful than doing. And God wants us to be more than he wants us to what? To do. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You shall be. He didn't say you shall do. He said you shall what? Be. And when words are used in scripture, they are not used carelessly. They are used carefully, because they are there to communicate a message to us. Amen to Jesus. Now, the Greek word for be in this verse of scripture we have written in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 we just read, the Greek word for be is the word en. Amen to Jesus. En means an instrumentality. I like that word, instrumentality. So he says you shall be witness. That means you shall be instrumentalities to witness for me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Instrumentalities to witness for me. Are we together? This means that our lives are the instrumentalities via which the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus to others. Our lives are the what? Instrumentalities via which the Holy Spirit does what? Testifies of Jesus to others. Not our words, but our lives. Are we together? Not our speeches, but our lives. Our lives are the instrumentalities of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? So when we look at ourselves, we are not just to do witnesses. We are the instrumentalities of witnessing. We are the very instrumentalities of witnessing. Praise God forevermore. So we be witnesses when we are the gospel message itself. We be witnesses when we are what? The gospel message itself. Not just by preaching the gospel with our mouths. Are we together? We be witnesses when we are the very message itself. Are we together? Not just by preaching it. Now, over the years, Christians have been good at preaching the gospel, which is not a bad idea. It's very good. But we are not called to just preach. We are called to be the message. Are we together? Because you need to understand something, that the unbelievers do not have time to listen to you, but they have enough time to look at you. Are we together? They do not have time to listen to you, but they have enough time to look at you. They have enough time, more than enough time, to look at you. And what they see when they look is what communicates faster and better to them than what they hear, because they don't have the time to hear. Are we together? In fact, they don't even want to hear, but they want to look. They want to look. They watch us a lot. They observe us a lot. And every day they watch and observe us, it's simply because what? They expect us to be the very instrumentality, the very act of witnessing, not just to do witnessing. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. We are the gospel message when we live as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are the gospel message when we do what? When we live as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We need to understand something, that we are the very message. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Jesus came to preach the Father and to preach himself. Are we together? And he said, I am the Father one. He said, the kingdom of God is what? It's within you. Are we together? The kingdom of God is within you. And what's the kingdom of God within us? Christ in us is the hope of glory. Is the kingdom of God within us. So Jesus actually came to preach himself to us. Are we together? He came to preach himself to us. And we, our lives must be the preaching of Jesus. Are we together? So we don't preach by words, we preach by life. We don't preach by words, we preach by action. Now, somebody, my wife always says something. I only see what you act. I don't see what you intend to act. I don't see your intentions. I only see your actions. Are you getting what I'm saying? The world only sees our action. They don't see our intention. Amen to us. And this miracle of feeding the 5,000 is making us understand that the world sees our actions, not our what? Intentions. And we can best win them by us acting Christ, not by us speaking Christ. The world, the whole world is filled with speakers. Are we together? Put on your television, there are a lot of people speaking there. Go online, there are a lot of people speaking there. In fact, you could have a speaking confusion if you are not careful. But we are not just called to talk, we are called to act it out. Are we together? Now, so while we speak, how do we act? Are we together? And I also make us understand that it is even better to act and not speak than to speak and not act. Over the years, I learned that principle. You know, I remember I used to be so much of a talker, so I even talk what I want to say before I do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I tell you my action before I act. So it made me always be on the least productive path. Until one day my biological father told me, he said, Chimdi, you talk too much. When I heard him say that, I was in my 20s when he told me that. For him to tell me that in my 20s, that means I was already getting too old to do that. Are you getting what I'm saying? He had watched me as a child and known that I was a talking child, but he never spoke. He never spoke. He never spoke. And so, he told me one day, Chimdi, you talk too much. In other words, keep quiet and act. Stop talking. My dad doesn't talk too much. He doesn't even talk at all. When he says one, before he says one, you know that one is 1,000 words. So when he says something, he means that thing. And so one day I had to ask him, Daddy, why are you quiet? I had to ask him, why are you quiet? Because I wanted to know. See, I always like knowing why you. I ask the why question a lot. You see, it has helped me a great deal in life. When I learned that he who knows why remains the boss, and he who knows how remains the subordinate, I started asking the why question. Why? Because I want to remain on top. I don't want to be the subordinate. So instead of me asking you, how do you get things done? No, I will not ask you how you get it done. I will find out why you are getting it done. When I know why you are getting it done, I will know how to get it done. Because the how, more often than not, is not one way. The how, more often than not, has so many ways. But when you know the why, you'll be able to fine-tune your how as time goes on. Are we together? Yeah. So I asked him, why are you quiet? I didn't ask him, how did you get quiet? I asked him, how? Why? And then he told me one simple reason. He said, I know that I don't know everything. So I take time to think through things before I finally talk. And that time I take, I have to be quiet so that I can thoroughly analyze issues before I talk. That statement, I got that answer from him over 10 years ago. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it has stuck to my memory. I'm not a quiet person naturally, but I knew why I had to become quiet. So I just started becoming quiet. Praise God forevermore. And rather than just speak, I rather prefer to act than to speak. So more often than not, when we act before we speak, people are like, if we're only playing with you, why did you take it so serious? You get what I'm saying? But it's a better approach. God wants us to be actors. Praise God forevermore. And the Bible says how Jesus began to do and then to what? To teach. God does before he speaks. Are you getting what I'm saying? If we are speaking before we do, we are not behaving like our Heavenly Father. He does it before he says it. And that is why soul winning is first an action before a word. Are we together? It's first an action before a word. We should stop this wordy. Look at everywhere in Christendom. It's all filled with words, but little action. And that's why people will tell you, God looks at the heart. It's not your outward that matters. It's your heart that matters. But please help me. What I'm seeing is outward. The actions you are showing me is what I'm seeing. I cannot see the heart now. Okay, if you want me to see the heart, bring the heart through your actions. Stop telling me to look at your heart. Your heart is not, your chest is not transparent. And don't forget, the Bible says, the heart of man is what? Deceitful and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it except the Lord? Amen to Jesus. Yes, that is the heart of the originated man. Amen to Jesus. Because the new man, God says, I've removed the heart of stone and given you the heart of flesh. For the new man, you have the heart of flesh. But yes, my brother, I know you have the heart of flesh. But please, until you act that heart of flesh, permit me to assume. Are we together? Permit me to assume. And we have to permit the world to assume so long as we are not yet acting out the heart of flesh. Amen. We cannot quarrel with people when they assume that we are not, you know, preaching the gospel with our lives when our heart is not yet revealing itself. So please, let's reveal the heart. It's an action. Amen to Jesus. It's an action. And this action comes by we doing what? We being the salt of the earth and the what? Light of the world. Now, if these two things are not in place, they're not in place, we cannot actually what? We cannot actually win souls. We cannot actually be witnesses. We cannot actually be instrumentalities by which the Holy Spirit would preach Jesus to people. Glory to God forevermore. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savour, wherewith shall he be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, first we need to understand that the chemical composition of salt makes it almost practically impossible for it to lose its saltness. Are we together? Almost practically impossible for it to lose its saltness. The chemical composition of salt. Put salt inside water, it will still be salt. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Amen. If you put it on the floor and you can finally be able to do fractional distillation to distill it, you still get the salt taste out of it. So it's almost practically impossible for salt to lose its what? Its salinity. Amen to Jesus. Now that's why it says but if the salt have lost its savor, where shall it be salted? Now if it is almost practically impossible for salt to lose its salinity, and it's asking this question, if he loses his salinity, where will he be salted? Where will he be salted? It makes us understand something here. And as a child of God, it's from God's point of view, it's impossible for you to use your salvation. From your own point of view, it is practically almost impossible for you to lose your salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because God gave us an eternal salvation. Your saltness from God is eternal. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's eternal. So long as you are walking with the Lord, it's impossible for you to lose your salvation. Impossible. Are you getting me? Now, if you now, because your saltness is your salvation, your salinity is your salvation. If you lose it, how then can you be salted? What God has done and secured that it should not be lost and it cannot be lost. How will you now lose it? That means if you now lose it, what is the hope? Are you getting what I'm saying? What is the hope? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Says, it's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And then he says, you are the light of the world. It's he that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Says, let your lights so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. So as witnesses, we shine the light of Jesus Christ with our lives on this grossly dark world. Amen to Jesus. The Bible says, for darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the what? The people. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Isaiah chapter 60, you know, verse 1 to 3 says, but then you will arise and you shine. Now, Christians are not meant to be threatened by darkness. Neither are Christians meant to be afraid of darkness. Christians are meant to be excited about darkness, because the light can only shine when there is darkness. When there is no darkness, the importance of the light is not known. You know, when there's sunlight, you put on the light, it's useless. Are you getting what I'm saying? You carry a church light, it's useless during the daytime. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's useless, you know. And I don't know why Christians, we are waiting for a lighted world. We are looking for a lighted world. And a lighted world makes us useless in this world. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the New Jerusalem, where there will be no more night, are you getting what I'm saying? We are not useful for evangelism there. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are not useful for, we are not winning any soul there. Are you getting what I'm saying? The only place where we can shine, you see, in heaven, you cannot shine me. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are not winning souls there. Are you getting me? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. And we cannot shine any shine because Jesus is the light there. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's the heavenly city. He's the light. He's the light. Are you getting what I'm saying? We can only be lights here where there is darkness. This is where we can shine and win souls for the Lord Jesus. So I don't know why Christians are afraid of darkness. No, we should be excited about the darkness. Not only should we be excited, we should be more excited when it's getting gross, because that's when our value can come. As small as a candle light is, praise God forevermore, as small as a candlestick is, it is so useful to 100 people, are we together, when there is no light. As small as it is, praise God forevermore. So it's not the size of the light that matters. It's the environment that determines the value of the light. Are we together? The darker the environment, the small light becomes important. Amen. So some of the times we are waiting for our light to become big. No, we don't need our light to become big. All we need to do is to remove ourselves from under the bushel where we have kept ourselves. We don't need our light to become bigger. No, we don't need to become bigger. All we need is to go to where there's darkness. Amen to Jesus. That's why when the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith, Jesus did not increase their faith. He told them, if your faith can be as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And he said, if you doubt not in your heart, it shall be so for you. In other words, your faith does not need an increase. Your faith needs to be exercised. The one you have, what have you used it for? The faith you have not even used it. Are you asking me to increase? That light you are, that you say you are a small light, how much have you used that light? There are dark locations where your light is needed. Shine. Are we together? And stop looking for increased light. Increase in terms of light. Some Christians are fasting and praying for God to increase their light, whereas they are not going to areas where there are darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Instead of praying and fasting for God to increase your light, go to where there's darkness and what? And begin to shine. As small as your light may be, just go and start shining. The more you shine, the more you see, the more God will see the need to increase your light. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so as witnesses, we shine the light of Christ Jesus with our lives on the grossly dark world, and we bring taste and preservation to this bitter, decaying world. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So as salt, we bring what? Taste. This world is experiencing confusion. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when something is tasteless, what it actually does is that it confuses the taste bud. Are you getting me? It confuses the taste bud in the tongue. Because the taste bud in the tongue, I think there are two sides of the tongue. One is for bitter and one is for sweet. And I think another one is for hot and for cold. Praise God very much. The tongue is actually separated like that. Just that when we taste, we just feel that, I just put it at my tip and I felt hot and I felt cold. But actually the tongue, biologically speaking, the tongue is separated. And in the separation, there's a section of it that is sensitive to bitter stuffs, and a section of it that is sensitive to what? Sweet stuffs, and a section of it that is sensitive to hot, and another section sensitive to cold. Are you getting what I'm saying? When something is tasteless, it confuses the tongue. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are we together? And look at the world we are in today. Our world is confused because our world lacks taste. It's confused. This is the image that God showed Daniel. The food that was mixed with what? With clay and metal. Clay and metal can never stick together. That is why our world is falling apart. Falling apart. It speaks of confusion. Babel. It's a confused world we are in. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a world that lacks taste. Are you getting me? A world that is just... The world is just tasteless. It's just tasteless. The world is just tasteless. Are you getting what I'm saying? The world is just totally tasteless. And it only takes the salt of the earth. The salt of this earth to bring sweetness to the earth. And the world... The earth is decaying. You know? The earth is decaying. You know, yesterday in our Bible study, we're talking about global warming. Now, like, is God the cause of global warming? No. We can see the earnest expectation of the creation, Romans chapter 8, and then waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. And it says the creature has been groaning. I just learned that in Hawaii, there was an earthquake. It was an earthquake. And about 700 people have been trapped. And, you know, I think about 9 have died. This is the groanings. This is the groanings of the earth. This is the groanings. Groanings. For the waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There are some sons of God that are meant to say no to some things. Yeah. They're meant to say no to some things. Even next to natural disasters, there are sons of God who are meant to be watchers of nations and territories and say, no, there will be no this in this territory. There will be no that in this location. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are meant to preserve. We are meant to preserve the earth. Number one, we have a role of bringing taste. The earth is confused. It's tasteless. Doesn't know what he wants, whether sweet or bitter. And that's why we punish good and celebrate evil. It's tastelessness, it's confusion, it's Babel. Praise God forevermore. And then the groanings of the earth. The earth is decaying. Humanity is decaying. And it needs salt to preserve it. Both from the humans on the earth to the creations of all kinds on the earth, they need salt to preserve them. And the salt are what? Are the Christians. And we can only preserve them by the life we live. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. When we do this, we be witnesses and win souls to Christ. Thus, we live the lives of what? Fishermen. So what is the life of fishermen? Being lights of the world and salt of the earth. That's all. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's all. When you are light of the world and salt of the earth, see, you will live it so much that when you start speaking it, there will be no argument. Are you getting what I'm saying? There will be no argument. It will be just salient and strong. Now, this buttresses the fact that we previously established that wherever we spend more of our time is our what? Fishing sea. Because we use our lives to fish, not necessarily our what? Our words. Where do you spend more of your time in? Is it in the office? That is your sea. Use your life to do what? To fish. You know, there's a pastor I knew of. He was a bank manager. And he finally resigned from the bank and put himself into, focus more in the ministry and, started running a business. Some, months later, I went to the bank and I said, I want to close my account. Because I needed them to do something for me. I called from outside the country and nobody could do it for me. But if my pastor were to be there, he would have done it for me. You understand what I'm saying? At the snap of a finger. It's not somebody that, somebody that what he did for me once, I cashed a check without the signature because of his help. He told me, go and sign it. He cashed it for me. He said, go and sign it, Chimdi, and bring the check back. Who would do that? Somebody that, he was helping a lot of people in the bank. So when I was outside the country, I was trying to get in touch with the bank for them to help me do something. They said they cannot do, and I knew that if you were there, he would have done it for me. So I came back, I came to close the account. They say, why? I said, I'm closing it. Told them, if pastor were to be here, that kind of thing you put it to me, you will not do it. And they were like, then somebody said, who is that pastor said? Since I came to this branch, I've been hearing about him. Who is he? And somebody said, you never knew him. Oh, if you had known him when he was here. What a testimony. He had left the bank. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he was still witnessing. Somebody that came said, I've heard about this man. He's a new staff to the branch. I've heard about him. Who is the person? I've been hearing about him. That's what we are meant to be. Are you getting what I'm saying? We think it's by shouting and preaching. We shout and we preach, and our life is not shining nothing. And our life is not preserving nothing. No. It's more first about our lives. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen to Jesus. I want you to understand something, you know, that fishing provides a sense of fulfillment and accomplishment when a catch is made. Amen. When a catch is made, fishing provides a sense of what? Fulfillment and accomplishment. You see, most of us are not enjoying our Christian life because we are not fishing with our lives. That's all. The Christian life becomes boring when you are not fishing with your life. You see, when you are lighting up, when you are shining as a light, when you are preserving the world from decadence and adding taste to the world, the Christian life becomes an exciting one. It is an exciting one when this is in place. Now, if you're not doing this, the Christian life is boring. In fact, you'll be able to separate between your life and the Christian life. You know, so Christians, they separate their life from the Christian life. When they go to church, they are in Christian life. When they get out of church, they are in their life. And they say, some people will say, you see, what the Bible says does not apply in every situation. You know, are we together? We have Christians who actually believe that the Bible does not apply in every situation. In other words, if the Bible does not apply in every situation, that means you have separated your Christian life from your normal life. That means you now have a life different from your Christian. What are you living? It's confusion now. It's Babel. Know ye not that when Christ died, ye died with him. And when he resurrected, you resurrected with him. And Apostle Paul went for that to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the life I now live, I live by him who gave himself for me. So in other words, I don't have a life. The life I live is not mine, it's his life. So if you have a normal life and you have a Christian lifestyle, you are not born again. If some things apply in the Bible to your some aspect of your life, but they don't apply to some aspect of your life, you are not born again. Sorry, I'm sorry to inform you. And please, don't get angry. Just get born again. That is all. Are we together? And that's why Christianity has been so boring for a lot of people. Are we together? It's been so boring. And the Christian life is so boring. The life of faith is so boring because they have separated it from Christians. When they are in church, they are Christians. When they are in the business place, they are something. I don't know what to call them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. So there's great fulfillment and, you know, accomplishment when we catch souls. When a fisherman catches fish, he's so excited. I saw a video of some fishermen who caught a particular kind of fish, which is actually is an endangered species, and many governments in the world have actually said such fishes should not be caught. The dolphins, they should not be caught and killed because they are endangered species. But these guys were videoing it and were so happy to show that they caught a dolphin and were going to, you know, to eat the dolphin, you know. And people were saying, people were like, no, dolphins are nice creatures. They are endangered species. They should not be caught. And other people were supporting them. That after all, God said we should kill and eat. So kill and eat. You know, look at today. We are having a lot of animals getting extinct. And thanks to mankind, we've extincted so much. Are you getting what I'm saying? But, you see, they were so happy that they had a catch. Are you getting me? When the fisherman goes out and he has not got a catch yet, he is not yet fulfilled. He is not yet accomplished. So some of them sleep on the river, on the ocean. Some of them sleep at dock until they catch. Remember when Peter toiled through the night and there was no fish? He was not happy. He was washing his net, sad. And he said, Jesus said, give me your boat. And he said, and he told them later, and he said, Master, we have toiled all night. That's made a statement of, see, this job, the only fulfillment is when we catch fish. If we toil all night and we get fish, it totally makes sense. What are we talking? This is only in fishing. In every profession now, when you achieve your goals, you don't mind toiling days without sleeping when you achieve your goals. But if you are not achieving your goal, 1 hour work looks like 1 year work. It looks like torture. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the very essence of accomplishment and fulfillment in the Christian life is soul winning. It's when we are catching fishes for the Lord Jesus. That's when we accomplish. That's when we are fulfilled. When we are shining as light, and when we are what? We are preserving the earth as what? Salt. Time and again, we are told in scripture that soul winning is for the wise. Is that not so? Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth soul is what? Wise. So soul winning is for the wise. Are we together? It's only wise people that win souls. In other words, it's only wise people that shine as light and what? Preserve their earth, the earth as what? As salt. So if you're a Christian and you are not wise, you will refuse to shine. And you refuse to preserve your earth. You feel, why should I shine? Why should I shine? Am I the only one to shine? If you are the only one to shine, shine, no. You can never see a candle complain that it's the only candle. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, he's happy to be the only candle self. Are you getting me? You should be happy that you are the only Christian in your environment. I'm the only Christian. They will soon kill my faith. No, which kill your faith? The more the darkness, the more the candle shines. Are you getting what I'm saying? The more the darkness around you, the more your faith gets stronger. Amen to Jesus. The more the decadence, the more you can preserve your word, the earth around you. Praise the Lord forevermore. All right. We also understood that wisdom makes a man happy when he finds it. Proverbs 3 verse 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth what? Wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. Are we together? So, you want to see a happy man is a man that's found wisdom. And who is the man that's found wisdom? Is a man that wins souls. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, the true happiness in the Christian work is soul winning. Is what? That's why Jesus took them to Bethsaida. Come, let me show you where your true happiness lies. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me show you where your true happiness lies. You're going to go. You're going to cast out demons. Yes, you're going to heal the sick. Say, but these things are beautiful. But see, your true happiness is not that you cast out demons. It's not that you heal sick. Your true happiness is that you win souls for me. Why is this so? Because Jesus told them, they came back and they came back and said, oh, Jesus, at thy name, demons were casted. And Jesus said, rejoice not that demons prayed at my name. But rejoice that your name is written what? In the book of life. Praise God forevermore. The joy that your name is written in the book of life is the joy that you have been saved. And that joy is enhanced when you get others saved. So it's beauty is so much beautiful when you go to heaven and you see your name in the book of life. And you look back and you see 20 people that their name entered in the book. Their name entered the book of life because of you. What a joy. What an excitement. And I know that's going to be our portion in the name of Jesus. By our lives, people's name will be registered in the book of life. Why are we preaching? Because we want to get to heaven and see people's names in the book of life because of the light we shone. Amen to Jesus. Somebody was talking to me some days ago. He said, man of God, you are pouring. The way you are pouring. On the Easter week, on Wednesday I preached heavily in the night. On Thursday I preached. On Friday evening I preached. On Saturday morning I preached. On Sunday evening I preached and was at the top of my voice shouting with supernatural prophetic healing, deliverance. How many things combined together? And then on Monday I was out on evangelism. I lost my voice on Sunday evening, but I still had to go out on evangelism on Monday. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Yesterday, Wednesday, I was teaching. Today, Thursday, I'm already teaching. And after teaching, I have another teaching to teach today again. Yesterday, I taught again. And tomorrow, I'll be teaching again. And Saturday, I'll be teaching again. Sunday, I'll be teaching. Throughout the month, I'll be teaching. Amen. Now, it's every day of the month I'm teaching. Of this world I'm teaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he said, man of God, the way you are pouring. Why will we not pour? Because we want to be happy. This is our sense of joy and fulfillment. I may not know the people I'm preaching to in the US. I may not know the people I'm preaching to even in other nations of the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I want to get to heaven and I see somebody who says me, thank you for giving to the Lord. And he's a white man. He's a Caucasian. He's an Asian. He's a Mongoloid. I don't know him. But he tells me, thank you for giving. I listened to your teachings on Grace Life Komi. And I got born again. I listened to your teachings on Grace Life Komi. And I got a new understanding of God's word. And in fact, I dedicated. That's going to be my happiness. That's going to make me happy. And so that's why we are still pouring. We cannot stop pouring. I'm preaching to you. I'm tired. I'm supposed to preach a second teaching. I'm tired. But we have to preach all the preaching. We have to keep pouring. Are we together? That's the happiness. Happy is the man that findeth what? Wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. Amen to Jesus. And this makes us understand that soul winning makes one happy in life. Are we together? It makes one happy in life. I don't know how Christians live content without winning one soul. You live happy without winning a soul. You live happy without preaching to half a person. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. You can preach to somebody. Glory to God forevermore. You can preach to somebody. Amen. Amen. Also, we see in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, that wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things to be desired cannot be compared to it. Wow. Wisdom is better than rubies, precious stones. Wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things you can desire in life, count what you can desire. We live in a generation that is so desirous for vanity. But Solomon had already told us ahead of time, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. But in our generation, we want to try to experience what Solomon experienced. In one of our youth empowerment summit, in our youth empowerment summit, we began to look at the experiments that Solomon made in life. Experiment, all his experiments. He experimented madness. He experimented foolishness. He experimented drinks. He experimented food. He experimented all that a man could experiment. And when he finished all his experiments, you see, one thing that peace gives to you, if you're not careful, that it gives you time to waste. It gives you so much time to waste. If you are not disciplined to walk with the Lord, peace will give you time to waste. Are we together? David was so busy, he didn't have time for experiments. Fought over 60 battles in his lifetime. Which time will he have to experiment on those things? He only had time for wisdom because he needed wisdom to devote 7 to go and fight battles. Are you getting me? You know, but his son had peace. So he had enough time to experiment nonsense. And after Solomon, it was good Solomon experimented so that he can be a reference point to every young man. After Solomon experimented, he concluded his experiments by telling us, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. And what annoys me most is that even after he has given us the conclusion, most young people, especially those my generation and below my generation, will still want to experiment. What do you want to experiment again? Are we together? Praise God forevermore. It says wisdom is what? It's better than rubies, and all the things to be desired cannot be compared to it. So after Solomon got all the things, you know, Bible says, as Solomon, he says, when he did all his experiments, there's something he said. He said, and my wisdom remained with me. When I saw that verse of scripture many years ago, I said, Lord, cause my wisdom to always remain with me. Because if you experiment and lose wisdom, it's madness. You have become mad. You have lost it all. When he was experimenting his wisdom, why? Because he knew in the bottom of his heart that this wisdom was what he asked God for. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, man, he can experiment, but he will never lose it. But he knew that in this experiment, all these things I've experimented, they can never be compared to wisdom. It's this Solomon that is talking here. They cannot be compared to wisdom. So he kept the wisdom and continued experimenting. There's nothing we desire that can be compared to wisdom. That means there's nothing we desire in our walk with God that can be compared to winning souls. You want a house, you want a car, you want wife, you want children. It can never be compared to winning souls for the Lord Jesus. Now we also see in Proverbs 16 verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Hey! See, we are seeing this wisdom matter. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Is Solomon speaking here? The greatest experimenter. Is that not so? He's speaking. He says it's better to get. He didn't just say better. I say, how much better? It's unquantifiable. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold?
Now he talked about rubies. He talked about all that can be desired. Now he talked about God. So he was just looking every way to make us understand that, see, this wisdom is incomprehensible. This wisdom cannot be compared. You cannot compare anything to what? To wisdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now this reveals to us that wisdom is better than wealth of all levels, of all kinds, of all magnitude. Wisdom is better than wealth of all kinds. So soul winning makes one have more than wealth can offer. Soul winning makes one have what? More than wealth can offer. Some of us think that what we need is wealth, but there's something we need is soul winning. It makes us have more than what wealth can offer to us. Are we together? And that's why we keep preaching. Because the Bible says, how can they hear if they are not preached to? And how can they preach if they are not sent? That's how we are preaching. This is the way we can still win our souls, by preaching. Somebody will listen to the podcast. Somebody is listening to the podcast. I thank God that the Lord, after 3 years of teaching on podcast, when it looked like nobody was, people were even telling me I'm not doing ministry. But 3 years after, 4 years, people are beginning to say, oh, I'm being blessed by what the great work that God is doing through you. And they are beginning to share the podcast. Souls are getting blessed. Souls are getting won. I may not count them now, but I'm sure that when I go to heaven, I will see the book of life, and I will see some names that are there that came because of Grace Life Coming Podcast. I know that I will get to heaven and I will hear somebody tell me, thank you for giving to the Lord. I will hear someone else there tell me thank you. I'll see a Caucasian, I'll see an Asian, I'll see a Negroid, I'll see a Caucasoid, I'll see a Mongoloid. They will tell me, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for preaching. Thank you, because you preached, I was saved. Yeah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. And that is bigger than any wealth I can have in this life. Wealth. Is it not wealth? It will perish. All these things will end here. I get what I'm saying. But there's something bigger than them. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Finally, there is great joy in heaven over one soul that is saved. Amen. Luke 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that is what? That repented. So, when I am bringing joy to heaven, what other joy is bigger than that? Wow. Now, if I have the... See, some of us understand. You know, we have the... In heaven, there is no sorrow. Bible says there shall be no more tears. For God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's when we get there. Why? Because there is no sorrow. But you know what? There is joy there already. But when we win soul, we add to the joy. Do you know what it means to be adding to the joy in heaven? A joy zone already. You can add to it. So I can add to the joy in heaven. Wow. Then I better keep doing what will make me add to the joy in heaven than to be seeking any other thing. Glory to God forevermore. So soul winning makes us add to the joy in heaven. Amen to Jesus. It makes us add to the joy. The joy is already there. It's plenty joy. Overwhelming joy. Overflowing joy. Indescribable joy. Incomprehensible joy. Uncalculatable joy. Whatever English can I use again? But as incomprehensible, unconceivable, uncalculatable the joy is, God says, I can add to it. Wow! What a privilege! What a blessing! And tell me why I should not preach. Tell me why I should not preach when I can add. Let me add more. If there is more I can add, let me add. I thank God for great gospel campaigners of old. Reinhard Bonnke of the blessed memory. Billy Graham of the blessed memory. They added to the joy in heaven so much. Let me still add my small. Let me add my small. My brother, my sister, you add your small. No light is too small, sir. No candle is too small. I know that time when we used to use candle, the candle would be almost dying to be small like this. We would put it on top of a can so that we'll manage it. Is that not so? To still use it till it dies. No light is too small. Praise God. And no salt is too small. Are we together? Amen to Jesus. So soul winning makes the saint rich in wisdom here on earth, which is far more valuable than wealth and all material possessions. The peak of it is that soul winning makes us have a reward in heaven. Amen to Jesus. It makes us do what? Have a reward in heaven. Now, so what a blessing it is to encounter Bethsaida. What a blessing it is to encounter Bethsaida. What a blessing it is to encounter Bethsaida. Praise God forevermore. Another thing we need to also understand, that fishes caught by fishermen are not often of the same size and shape. Why? Because the fishes never stop moving. It's not the same size. It's not the same shape. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the same thing applies to soul winning. The souls we catch are not the same sizes. They are not the same what? Shape. But they are all valuable. They are all what? Valuable. Despite their varied size, every one of them is important to God. Are we together? Every soul counts, and every soul must be won for the Lord Jesus. No soul is a no soul. Every soul is a soul. No soul is a small soul. Every soul is a valuable soul. Are we together? Yes. Even in fishing, you have the big fishes. You have, I'm privileged to be in a fishing location. Praise God forevermore. The other Saturday when I was going for, my revival prayer meeting, I always pass through the fish market, and you see the fishes. You see them just bringing the fishes. And I saw swordfish, the one that has a long, sharp maya. I saw it. I saw swordfish. And the woman was carrying a basin with how many swordfish is inside the basin. If I don't know, I entered the taxi, and I saw that they put a swordfish in the taxi. I saw swordfish. I'm like, whoa. You know, this environment has been excursion. I saw swordfish. You know, praise God forevermore. And see, while you see swordfish, you still see the small fishes too. Every of the fishes are sold, and they are of value. They are of value. And then you have fishes that are very tiny. One thousand. Have you what they call it? Tiny fishes. All still of what? Value to the fisherman. Every fish is of value. Every soul is of value to the soul winner, whether it be small or be big, because every soul counts to God. Praise God for my mom. Can't say they are children. What do you mean they are children? When Peter was trying to say they are children, they don't have value. Jesus said, Hey, Peter, suffer not the little ones to come to me, for to them belongs what? The kingdom of God. These small fishes are very important to me. And he said, let no one put this one, lead this ones astray. Say, anyone that offend this one, it is better that a stone is tied to his neck and is thrown into the ocean and drowned there. So that kind of death is better for him than the judgment of God that come upon him. And he said, there is a small soul. There are small souls. These souls are too small to reach out to. These souls are too small to preach to. Are you getting what I'm saying? I started preaching to my children since, how old were they? They are growing. They are getting used to the preaching. They are getting used to the preaching. Say, they're small souls. They're not called small souls, sir. I was talking to a man of God. I was telling him how I preached to my family alone for how many years. How the number of churches I was going, he kept quiet. He was, you could see him, he was standing shocked. Like, what is this happening? But to the privilege of God, many of the things we the Lord revealed to us in these meetings, alone as a family, that is what you're listening to. All the things you're listening to on podcast is my family are preaching to. And the things that the Lord revealed to us, now they are coming public gradually. I'm beginning to teach in meetings, and when I teach in meetings, they wonder the way I answer questions, and they're like, where is this guy? It's in these meetings we got the answers. No soul is a small soul. They have different sizes, but they are very important. Are we together? Amen to Jesus. Amen. So every soul is important to God. If it is not time, another thing to understand about the fishermen is that if it's not time for them to go back on land, they either rest aboard or sleep on the dock. That's why fishing is hard work. I get what I'm saying? This makes us understand that if we're not ready to go back to heaven, we stay here fishing. I get what I'm saying? We stay here fishing, It's not time to go to heaven, so I'm not ready to go yet, 120 years is my target. Until that 120, I stay here what? Fishing. And this is evident in, it's also evident in gospel and soul winning campaigns, where the team have to sleep in uncomfortable places around the site of the gospel campaign till they want to finish the campaign. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I was listening to one of the big evangelists in Africa, and he said when they go for their gospel campaigns, he said they sleep in very, very wonderful places. He said they go and do shot put. Somebody that is about 60 years old now, if it's normal. Say they do short put. Say because they don't have toilets where they go. So they do short puts. See, some of the times on the journey, his campaign team, his campaign team, some of them get malaria. They have to start treating. You think it's an easy thing? They are carrying their trucks, traveling. They're not going back to land until they finish. They will suffer all the things they have to suffer. They don't go back until they finish the work they got to do. We are not going back anytime soon. Believe us. But so while we are here, we must do what? We must win the souls. Are we together? It, no matter the discomfort, amen to Jesus. So it means that some of they are homeless for a while. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are homeless for a while. Now, when we look at this, some of us say, oh, why me? Don't forget, Jesus was an itinerant preacher. Is that not so? And this technically made him what? Homeless for as long as he was out for souls. As long as he was out for souls, he was homeless. He didn't have home address. And he said it. Are we together? He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to put his head. Mark chapter 8, verse 20. It says, and Jesus said unto them, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Are we together? Jesus knew that the purpose was for souls. So he didn't mind being homeless, no house address. So long as I get the souls. And Christians, we want to be very comfortable and want to still get souls. It doesn't work like that, sir. You get to these comfortable zones just to get souls. I know what it means to be a missionary who has moved from nation to nation and who has moved from house to house. I know what it means. I understand it in details. I know what it means to be where the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you know what? If we have to be homeless for a while just to win souls for Christ, it is and will be a privilege for us to be like our Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. You have been blessed by God's word. Lord, the grace to do my own. To be a witness, to be an instrumentality for the Holy Ghost to witness Christ. Let that grace rest upon me tonight. You are praying wherever you are.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available. To give in dollars, you can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233 054-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.